If you would like a copy of my book, Telling Up Is Business, you may phone me at 318-305-6965. You may like me on Facebook, connect with me on Google+, or Twitter. May God bless you until we meet again at the same time next week.
He's a wonder in my soul.
I feel that, y'all. Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations. 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive. Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. May we stand on our feet in honor of the word of the Lord as we prepare to hear the word. Father, our God, in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus, now as we come before your presence, we pray that the Holy Ghost will take the truth that we're teaching and unfold it, make it clear in the minds of your people, bring illumination and more revelation that they may see what it is that you have to say to them. And Lord God, we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor as we see, hear, and understand. And then practice these principles and receive the profit, thus giving you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I'd like to call your attention to the book of St. Luke, chapter 2. And I want to commence reading at verse 25. St. Luke, chapter 2, beginning at verse 25. And recorded are these words. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Yeah. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. As we continue to unfold the Christmas story and see the many ramifications and the many places of thought and action that interplayed around and surrounding this great story, this prophecy of Simeon is a great one because, again, it is filled with the prophecy of the Holy Ghost, the prophecy of prophets, and all of it is concerning and surrounding Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the things that I think is so interesting about this is because even though it speaks about a historic birth, the reality is there were some things connected with this birth that are still ongoing today. There are some things connected with this birth and surrounding this birth that if we would look at and understand will be helpful to us today. It is so important when we look and see Simeon, who was a just and a devout man, according to the word of God, desired to see the consolation that was the coming and ministry of the Christ, was so important to him that he looked with great expectation for this Christ coming, because he knew that Israel would be all right if Jesus just got on the scene.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the things that I think we need to understand, my brothers and sisters, is I don't care what you're going through. I don't care how deep and difficult and dark it may be. If the Lord can just show up.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you've got to realize when he shows up, all that's in him shows up with him.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't understand that we've got to learn how to wait on the Lord.
Yeah.
Not on our situation, not on our circumstances, not on our crises, and not even in our crying, but our focus should be on the Lord.
Yeah.
Let's go back, because this is where Simeon's focus was, on the Lord. The Bible says, and behold, and whenever again we start off with the word and in the sentence, it is joining this previous sentence with this one. But you go back up and it all links the story together. So I just want to pick out this part for emphasis. It says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now, one of the things, again, that you're going to understand is that he was not baptized with the Holy Ghost. He had been experiencing the indwelling power from an anointed standpoint of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was upon him. It wasn't until the second chapter of Acts that the Holy Ghost came in and dwelt inside folk, but it was upon, or the term it filled them was an anointing of the Holy Ghost upon them for a specific purpose and or period. So he was filled with the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Ghost was upon him. He was not baptized in the Holy Ghost. Just want to make that clear for those who may not understand how the person and power of the Holy Ghost works, and even at this point in time. He had not yet fully come, so he was not endued upon all men, but the Holy Ghost was still dealing with folk.
Yeah, yeah.
Verse 26 says, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, look at this, because this is important and you need to understand. God knows your heart, and God knows your deeds. He knows your thoughts. He knows everything there is to know about you. He knew Simeon's heart was to see this Christ, this Messiah, this anointed one, this Savior and deliverer of Israel. His whole desire, his daily prayer was, God, send your Christ, send your Messiah. He was waiting upon, again, the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, many times you'll never discover what has arrived if you're not looking for it to come. Many of us miss our blessings daily because we don't look for our blessings, and therefore many times we can't identify them even when they come. This man had no problem discovering and identifying the deliverer when he came, because every day of his life he was looking, wondering every day, is this the day that he's going to come? And I got news for you, my brothers and sisters, there's nothing like having a welcoming party when somebody is looking
are expecting you to show up. Jesus here had folk who had been prophesied that would be awaiting his coming and looking for his arrival. Simeon was one such man. Now notice again, the Bible says the same man, the same one. Now the reason why it says same one here is because that there are five Simeons in Scripture, and this is the same one that was just and devout. He was a man after God's own heart, if you will, because he was seeking God daily for the coming of this Christ. The Bible says, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now the Holy Ghost does not attach himself to unholy things or unholy people. So by virtue of the fact that the word says that he was a just and a devout man, the Holy Ghost then came and prophesied to him who had been looking for the prophesied Messiah. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says that the Holy Ghost came and told him that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now I tell you, my brothers and sisters, nothing to bless your heart like knowing you've been looking for a long time, and the Holy Ghost just reassured him, you won't die till Jesus gets here. In other words, he was saying, I'm going to make your looking fruitful. You're going to find what you've been looking for. And that's the joy of looking, knowing that at the end of your search, you find what you've been searching for. Now look at this, because the Bible says, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. Now, don't discount the fact that all through this process, when the Holy Ghost came upon him and then revealed to him that he would not see death, that from that moment on, the Holy Ghost walked him through every part of this process, because that's the job of the Holy Ghost, to lead us, to guide us, to inform us, inspire us, to protect us and provide for us. And all of these actions and functions of the Holy Ghost was evident even in this day and time. So now by the unction of the Holy Ghost, because one of the things you got to know is you can seek God, but it doesn't always have to be in the temple. See, the problem with too many church folk is they look for him in church on Sunday mornings and don't know that's not the only place he is, and that's not the only place he shows up at. He can live at your house just like you can come and live in his house. He can be wherever you are because he is everywhere you are. Now listen at this now, because the Bible says, and he came by, that word by gives us the understanding that he was led. It came through in the unction of the Holy Spirit into the temple. Holy Ghost led him right to the place. Now listen, he's looking, but he don't know where he's going to show up at. But the Holy Ghost said, you're going to see him before you die. So now he's depending on the Holy Ghost to guide him. But now listen at this. The Bible says he came to the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said. Now, before we get to what he says, look at how the Holy Ghost works this thing. The Holy Ghost knows that Mary has finished her time or period of purification. That Joseph and Mary were going to bring Jesus in on the eighth day to have him circumcised and named. So what the Holy Ghost does is he tells Simeon, Simeon, you need to get to the temple. Now he's in place before Mary and Joseph ever show up with Jesus. Can I tell you, what's for you is for you, and the Lord ain't going to let you miss what's for you. He guides him to the temple, gives him a first-rate place to see and to know and to do something that's going to be important for you to recognize here, because God knew his heart, knew his desire, knew that he was hoping for the consolation of Israel, knew that his prayer and his desire was to see him. And the Holy Ghost made clear, you are not going to die till you see this child. You are not going to die till you receive the sight of this Messiah. So the Bible says that he went into the temple, and they brought Jesus there to do for him after the custom of the law. Now there were five things that happened according to the custom of the law. One was circumcision according to Leviticus chapter 12, beginning at verse 3. And then secondly was the naming of the child. The third thing was the ceremonial purification of Mary. The fourth was the presentation of Jesus to God. And then fifthly, the offering of sacrifices, which also comes from the 12th chapter of Leviticus. So there were five things that took place when he came to fulfill the law in the temple at this time. First of all, verse 28 says, then took he up in him up in his arms and blessed God and said. Now can I tell you, it was the Holy Ghost who led him, who shared with him, who gave him the first opportunity to do something no one else had done. Now Simeon gets his hands on Jesus before anybody else does. And the moment he gets his hands on Jesus, guess what the Bible says he does? He blesses God. Now see, you're missing it right there. Because see, once you get what God promised you, the first thing you ought to do is learn how to bless God. The first thing you ought to do is be able to say, God, if it hadn't been for you, God, if it weren't for you, God, I thank you because I know you're the one who brought to me what you promised me, gave to me what you said to you ought to learn first, whenever the Lord blesses you, to turn right back around first and bless God. Now listen here, because the word says this. The word says, after he blessed God, he said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Well, what was his word? Well, let's go back to verse 26. And it was revealed by the Holy Ghost unto him that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now listen at this now. Simeon wasn't no spring chicken. Simeon was an old man, and Simeon was ready to go home and meet the Lord, but he wanted to make sure before he left here that Israel was all right. I got to tell you, you've got some people God's got in place who are praying, and God hears their prayer, and they are warriors, and they have intimate fellowship with God in prayer, conversation, and communication, and there are just some things that they, in their intimacy with God, have a way that God loves, because one of the things God desires to do is to have fellowship with us, and the way that he fellowships with us in an intimate way is by prayer. And so it was because of Simeon's prayer life and his devoutness and his justness before God that God honored him. And so now, after honoring him, he's saying, now Lord, now that I see everything is all right over here, I'm ready to go home and live with you now. Now listen to this now. Now that's one of the reasons when folk know, can I tell you, when folk really know God is real, they're not afraid of dying. Now don't get me wrong. I know I'm going to heaven one day. I'm just not ready to go today. I know some of you are you ready, but I know I'm going. Got my reservation. But Simeon was an old man, and Simeon was the only thing that held Simeon up from getting out of here was the coming of Jesus Christ. Now listen at this. As soon as Jesus checked in, Simeon said, Lord, I'm ready to check out. Now listen. Lord, now. Somebody say now. He said, the only thing I've been waiting on is the hope of Israel. The only thing I've been waiting on is the consolation of Israel. The only thing I've been waiting on is the Lord Christ himself. Now that he's here, I can leave. Listen again. Lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. What was the peace? The peace of knowing that the Christ had come. According to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Now, if I pass through this too quickly, I do great injustice, because this word salvation is not only inclusive of salvation for the soul, but it also has to do with deliverance. Now listen to me carefully, because I want you to see what God allowed Simeon to do. Simeon was saying, Lord, now I'm ready for my deliverance. Simeon knew that he could not be delivered from this earth, this world, this responsibility, this pain, this suffering of looking and praying and staying in place for Israel until the Christ had come. Holy Ghost came and confirmed, you will see him before you die, so that you can die in peace knowing that God's got this thing fixed. Now listen at this now. One of the things that you must understand is that you can't have deliverance until you first get to know the deliverer. Now look at Simeon now, because the only reason why he was ready for deliverance was because he had the deliverer in his hand. St. John chapter 1 said that Jesus was the Word, and the Word was Jesus Christ. It had become flesh. Simeon held the deliverer in his hand, and he blessed God because in his hand he was looking at deliverance. I don't believe y'all getting this thing here this morning. And can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, that in order for you to experience deliverance in any area of your life, you got to first make contact with the deliverer. You got a personal responsibility to make contact with the deliverer before true deliverance can come. Look at the text again, for verse 30. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, the one that you promised, Lord. There have been many folk who have said that they have been the Christ, many folk who have said they have been the deliverer, many folk who said they've been the Messiah, but I know he's your salvation for Israel, for the people of God. Listen to what he goes on to say. He says, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, which meant that this was no secret thing. God has brought this out into straight deliverance before all people, because he had nothing to hide. It was Jesus' perfect time to come, and the fullness of time had come even before all people. Verse 32 begins to give a little more illumination. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Now he's holding this Jesus, this deliverer, this salvation. And he's saying, listen again, that he's a light. But now he says something that seems strange. He says a light to lighten. Now my question is, what is the purpose of a light but to light? But can I help you understand that all light don't really illuminate? Not to the point of shedding light and drawing out of darkness the reality of light itself filling those places. So what he was saying was Jesus Christ was going to be the ultimate light that would give light to every dark place, to every evil thing. Jesus would bring forth illumination so that nothing could be hidden from him, or the things of God never was hidden from God, but the thing revealed unto men, so that men will know that he was the Christ and the Messiah. Listen at this again. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. His purpose was going to be able to come to earth to bring to all mankind the deliverance that all sought. For the Gentiles who were not a part of the national nation of the Jews or God's chosen people, they were going to get a part in this great light, because they were going to understand he came to the world so that he might illuminate the darkness that was upon the earth. Notice here again, the Bible says, it says, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Now why would they marvel? Because it really hadn't hit them yet what they had. And that brings me to another point. Sometimes you really don't know what you got. Right in your own possessions. Sometimes you really don't understand how truly blessed you are, because you're still looking over what you're looking for. And it's right in your presence. Look again, because I want you to see something else. The Bible says, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, focus in now. He says, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. Now, what does this mean? this child is set. Now, don't discount again this word set, because this means literally that he has been dispensationally placed at this juncture in human history with a purpose and plan and power from God to affect the earth in such a way that God is going to get the glory, and those who seek him will get the good, and those who reject him will get the gloom. Now listen at this, because this is what's important. He says again, behold, this child is set for the fall. Now notice the first word is fall. And then it says conjunction and rising. Then the next word is again. Because if you look at Israel's history, they were up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down, because they again really didn't know who they were, because they really did not have a firm hold on whose they were. They served idol gods. They went and they served foreign gods and strange gods. They forsook their God after he blessed them, after he raised them, after he elevated them, after he delivered them. Something come along, things get good a little while. Enemies come in, or they come into the enemy territory, overtake them, and they let the filtration of the enemy's filth come into their camp, into their heart, into their lives. They forsake the Lord. They fall again. The enemy takes over God. They pray. God delivers them again. They rise. They come up to prominence and status again. They sin again. They come back down again. It was an up and down situation. And again, they always looked for the coming Messiah to bring them the prominence and the preeminence in the earth realm that Jesus, the King of Kings, would bring. But they still had that all mixed up. Now listen at this, because this is what's important. When Jesus comes and Simeon is delivering this message and saying that he is set, he's going to be the one that all history pivots on. It's going to be the changing. It's going to be the time set here. He's going to be the one that will make the difference in all history and in all mankind. Notice here he says the fall, representing those who will not accept Jesus, or those who will reject Jesus as King of the Jews. Now here's the important part. Jesus said himself, speaking of the prophecy, prophesied of him, I came to my own and mine own received me not. Now that meant that those who were in power and in position would fall. They would then be brought to their own demise because they rejected the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So those who were in power, in position, and in place, who then did not give credence to and submission to the King of Kings, they would be pulled down. They would lose their place and their space and all of the things that they were in power and position to do because they did not accept Jesus. But the ones who were cast down and thrown down and put down by those who were lifted up and in place and position would then rise, because in Jesus Christ they would experience liberation and deliverance and power and place and all of the other things that were meant for the children of God. So the word says that he would be set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. And it says, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Now it meant here that he would begin, that would later in Jesus' ministry be a confirmation that he's the one by the beginning of miracles. And if you look at John 2 and 11, where he begins his miracle ministry in his earthly ministry, you'll see where he begins, and that's where the sign is that he is the one because of his miracle working ability. Now notice again, here is the important part too. The Bible says, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now, of course, Simeon was talking about Jesus Christ on the cross and suffering a horrible death in the place of all who would see him and know him and receive him and or reject him. Now, notice here, because the word also suggests that the sword is twofold. It's not just piercing Mary's heart, soul, but it's literally piercing Jesus in his body as well. But it's not just piercing him there, because Jesus sees the plight of his people and they still don't yet know who he is. That's why when he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," it was because